It's the same thing when you say I do to Jesus. You're saying I don't to all the other gods of this world. You're saying I don't to this whole system of this world. Got to cut with our idols. Fourth thing that I want to point out here is change your world from your home. Look at this, verse 15. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua, he's saying, you know what? Even if everyone else forsakes the Lord, I won't. Me and my family, we're serving the Lord. And me as the man in my family, I'm taking responsibility. I'm putting my foot down right here and right now. It's a brand new year. Maybe last year was a major failure. I have a lot of things that I need to work on. My character, my family. I want to start today doing better. Really, if you want to fix society, we want to fix society. Society has gone to the dogs. I was actually thinking of saying that, and I just did. Society has gone to the dogs. But then I thought later, I shouldn't say that out of respect for the canine kingdom. But that was a joke. If you want to fix society, we've got to fix the church. The church, in a lot of places, it's just a big joke. The evangelical church, in large. It's just a big joke in a lot of places. If we want to fix society, we've got to fix the church. If we're going to fix the church, we need to fix the family. If we're going to fix the family, we've got to fix the men. Joshua, as a man, father, surely a grandfather, maybe a great-grandfather, he's deciding right here, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. You've got to decide. Seek first the kingdom of God at home. How to have a successful family? By putting God first. This is urgent. This message is more urgent for families. It's more urgent than ever. Families are a shambles everywhere. In Peru, in our church, most of the people in our assembly that we started 8 years ago are first-generation Christians. And they come from disastrous homes. Amy has been involved in counseling some of the women, and she just oftentimes says, I can't believe these families, the problems that these people have in their families because of years, generations of living in sin and not putting Christ and God's word at the center of the family, at the center of the home. It's really about the family. A lot of times I'll go into the streets and do questionnaires to try to do evangelism. And one of the questionnaires that I'll do is something about the family. And a lot of times I'll ask people, would you agree that the basic unit of society is the family? And most people agree. I went to Dunkin' Donuts. Been to Dunkin' Donuts a lot. Went to Dunkin' Donuts here the other night and got some ice cream. It was really exciting. And Amy and I had ice cream the other night. But went in, it was late, and there's an Indian couple that works there. Maybe you know them. Anyway, I asked them this question. And they said, yeah, oh yeah, while she was scooping up the ice cream. What do you think? Would you say that the basic unit of society, or the basic cell, if you could reduce down society into little cell groups, would be the family? And they both, oh, yeah. They had a real thick accent. You know, they could hardly speak English, but they agreed. And then I asked them, so what do you think, if the family is destroyed, would that destroy society? And they thought about it. Yeah, I guess if, you know, the basic unit of society is destroyed, it would destroy all of society. And then going on and asking, so what do you think about abortion? How does that affect the family? Homosexuality. How does that affect the family? Divorce. How does that affect the family? And usually people really get into this, and they've got their opinions, and it's really interesting to get. And then, Andy, what do you think religion? How does that affect the family? And then going from there and talking about religion and coming around to the Bible and Jesus Christ. And you can have tremendous conversations starting with this theme of family. I can't wait. I want to try this on the boardwalk. I bet you in the summer there must be thousands of people out there. Oh, you guys are the best place ever for evangelism. Go out with a questionnaire. You just wear a nice, this is like the nicest I've ever dressed before, usually. Don't dress up like I am this morning and go out with a clipboard. And just act real official, maybe even have a name tag on or something like that and a pen. And you go around, hey, we're doing a questionnaire around. We're just going from bench to bench and we're asking people, what would you say about the family? Yeah, family. You did this. And if they, you know, you go as far as the questionnaire goes. But really, talking about the family, everybody wants to talk about the family. Everybody recognizes that the family is the basic unit of society. And here we have Joshua making a decision for his family. I'm putting my foot down. Proactive parenting. I'm going to be a deliberate dad. I need to do better. My family's right here. Bria, I need to do better. As a deliberate dad. You know the word serve here? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Apparently the word serve here is also the same word for worship. As for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. Leading your family in family worship. Do you do that? I need to do better. Joshua making that decision. Mother Teresa, who I don't quote all the time, but she said this, what can you do to promote world peace? Go home and love your family. I would add, love your family and teach them to serve the Lord. Like Joshua is saying here. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have a big family. We have 6 kids so far. We're just getting started. No, I think we're there. But in Peru, and most places where we go, we're kind of the biggest family in the group. And everybody is watching us. All eyes are on us. And when we go into the grocery store, especially in our town, Tarapoto, most people know us, but we're a white family, and we're like the only gringos in town, or we were until the Maddoxes came to help us. But we're the only white family kind of in town. We got lots of kids, and so we're like a spectacle. I remember hearing, I'm not going to say who it was, a great missionary that I respect greatly, but he told us when we were just married, I think we had one or maybe 2 kids then. But he said, listen, as missionaries, you shouldn't have lots of kids. Missionaries should only have 2 kids max. And I took his advice, and I don't know what happened. At the time, I think I agreed. Sounds good. People are supporting you. You shouldn't have all kinds of kids and stuff like that. Bad use of the Lord's money, maybe. But you know what? I think that as a big family, it's opened up so many doors to show the world what a Christian family is supposed to look like. I mean, you don't have to have lots of kids to do that, but the more kids, the more people are looking at you. You have a tremendous opportunity to show the world what a Christian family is supposed to look like. And there just aren't hardly any Christian families for people to see. Where are the families that serve the Lord? Where are the men that lead their families in serving the Lord? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Brand new year. It's decision time. Resolutions. A lot of people make resolutions about, I'm not going to eat as many Dunkin' Donuts this year. Or I'm going to lose weight. Or I'm going to get in shape. What about resolutions? Spiritual resolutions. And where's the resolve to keep them? Next thing that I want to talk about here is, no one said that this would be easy. Look at verses 19 and 20. This is absolutely incredible. I have never, ever heard an evangelist preaching a gospel message say anything like this. But Joshua does it. Example to all of the evangelists in the room. You should do this. Be like Joshua. Look at what he does. Verse 19 to 20. But Joshua said to the people, and they had just said, we're going to do it. We're going to follow the Lord. And then Joshua says to the people, you're not able to serve the Lord.
For he is a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good. I mean, you're not supposed to say that. When you're doing evangelism, Joshua, nobody taught him. You're supposed to seal the deal. You're supposed to lead them in a prayer, repeat after me. And you don't tell them something. You can't do this. You know what? It's a lot easier to serve Moloch. Why don't you go follow Baal? It's going to be a lot easier. It's a lot more fun, maybe in the beginning. I mean, this is incredible. He even says he will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. What are you doing, Joshua? He's getting old. He kind of Alzheimer's. He's not thinking straight. This is amazing that he says that. I think he's trying to say it's not going to be easy. In this world, well, there are idols all around us, and each one of these idols are tugging at our hearts, it's going to be difficult. Men, it is going to be difficult to lead your family. The devil wants to take you out. It's going to be difficult. A lot of times, it's like amnesia, spiritual amnesia. We forget everything that God did. We forget we're in the promised land. God's given us all these blessings. He took me out of the land of slavery to sin to bring me in to an abundant life. And I'm here with all these blessings around, great prosperity, spiritual prosperity that the Lord has given. But I forget. That's why Joshua spent the first 13 verses of this chapter, the bulk of the chapter, reminding them. Remember, here's a history lesson. His story. God did it all. You didn't. Look at how blessed you are. Now, cut with your idols. Make a serious decision. Follow the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You, I don't know what you're going to do. Even if the whole world follows after Moloch, we're following Yahweh. And then he says, it's going to be hard. It's not going to be an easy decision. It's easier to serve the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Those are fun to feed. It's fun to feed the flesh for a while. And then the consequences come. And those gods, they ride you hard. Brings you into a really, really hard life. Slavery to sin. To a certain extent, I think Joshua is using reverse psychology, trying to encourage him, emphasizing that this isn't a game. If you want to play religion, a lot of people in the world want to play religion. I mean, the world is a religious place. If you want to play religion, go be a Muslim, or go be a Hindu, or pick your religion. Somebody has said, rightly, I think, there's basically two religions in the world. One that has 1,000 names, that says, be good and do good, and in the end, it'll all pan out for you. And the other one is biblical Christianity that teaches it doesn't matter how good you are, you can't earn heaven. It doesn't matter how bad you are, you can still be forgiven. You can have a real relationship with the living God. We're not playing a game here. We're not just playing religiosity like most of the world. And that's what I think Joshua is trying to say. You better think about this before you decide to follow the Lord. This is a big-time decision. It's like the pearl of great worth that Jesus talked about. I know there's different positions how you're going to take the pearl. Is the pearl God's the pearl, or is the people the pearl? I think maybe you can take it both ways. You can kick me out afterwards. But taking it from the point of view that God is the pearl. I want that pearl. I don't care if I have to sell everything I have to get that pearl. Once Bert Elliott said to me, what's worth a lot costs a lot. Salvation's free, but at the same time, it's going to cost you everything. Don't burn me at the stake. It's free, but at the same time, Christ calls us to take up a cross and follow him. Turn our back on this world and the gods
of the United States of America, the gods of Peru, the gods of the world. Turn your back on them. Make a clean cut with them. Choose this day whom you will serve. Let me read this. James Calvert went out as a missionary to the cannibals of the Fiji Islands. And the ship captain, when he was dropping him off, tried to turn him back. Him and the guys, he has a kind of a team of missionaries are getting off the boat. He tries to turn him back saying, "You'll lose your life and the lives of those who came with you among those savages." To that, Calvert replied, "We died before we came here." That's a great response. You've got to die. Crucify the flesh. No one said this was going to be easy. Joshua here is basically saying, you can't do it. Maybe some reverse psychology there, but are you serious? Are you sure you want to do this? It's going to be hard. Oh, but the blessings. A long life lived for the Lord. Thinking of this guy Joshua at the end of his life. Incredible. This guy maybe lived in the ultimate era of history. Can you imagine the things that he saw? Slavery in Egypt. He saw all the plagues as God brought them out. He saw how God provided for them in the wilderness those 40 years. He saw all the miracles that Moses did and everything as they crossed over the Jordan River and then he took command. He saw all of that, the taking of the promised land. Amazing the life that he lived. And don't think it was easy.